All right, listeners, listen up. Are you craving a next level glow up that actually sticks? Then buckle up because today's guest has turned heartbreak into rocket fuel and she built an entire movement around helping millennial women rise. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of The Advisor. Welcome back to the show. Thank you to Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in, for listening. Do not forget to like and subscribe. So meet Morgan Bruner. She is the founder of Glow Up Guide Collective and host of the podcast by the same name. She's coming in from Texas. She escaped a toxic, narcissistic marriage and rebuilt herself through mindset work, journaling, and faith. She pledged to become every woman's big sister in healing, and her platform dishes out digital journals, step-by-step guide habits, and soon to launch courses, which are all designed to swap self-doubt for that unapologetic confidence that we all so badly are striving for. So whether she's dropping real talk podcast episodes over coffee chat vibes or crafting tools that help you glow from the inside out, Morgan's mission is simple. Remind you that rock bottom isn't the end, it's the launch pad. So get ready for a straight up real talk, raw, vulnerable conversation. Get ready for some mindset shifts and a ton of inspiration. So welcome to the show, Morgan. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you for having me. And I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. Man, you've got quite the story, and I hope you don't mind me. I'm gonna spill your age, but you're 29 years old.
Yes, I am. I feel like I'm really old, maybe because of all the things I've been through in life, but I get reminded quite often that I have been through a lot for my age only being 29.
Yeah, I was prepping for the show today and I'm like reading your stuff and I'm like, and then the last thing I read was she's 29. I was like, oh, interesting. Definitely an old soul.
Yes, for sure. I had gotten married and had my daughter when I was 23 years old. So I feel like I kind of started my life younger, but a lot of things led up to me having more of an old soul. And also, I'm just the baby of my family. My sister's 13 years older than me. So I have just always grown up with that age group, and I more have their old soul tactics and everything inside of me.
That is so cool. So I would love to get into your life, your experiences, and kind of lead the listeners through why you're doing what you're doing. And I most definitely would love to talk to you about your narcissistic relationship and what that was like and breaking free of that. But first, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so I am 29 and I am a single mom. I have a 6-year-old daughter and she is my driving force for absolutely everything. She's my little mini best friend and I've gone through a lot of traumatic hardships that I, for the longest, kind of thought was just normal. And then also realized I was not speaking up or having a voice about them and just kind of letting them knock me down. And so once I kind of realized, I guess with my daughter mostly, that, if I speak up about these things, it can help other people and other women to not feel alone in the scenario that they're in, and to also maybe have that little bit of inspiration that's just like, okay, I can do this. Like, if she can do this, I can do this. And so I think my daughter was a lot of the driving force behind me realizing and getting my voice to speak more. And then I started from there, sharing my story and just kind of things I've been through with my healing journey and different personal growth and development tools that have helped me. And then I started the Glow Up Guide Collective podcast from that because I wanted to share more in-depth tools and just mindset shifts and things like that that could help people really get through what they're going through.
So let's go back to your relationship. First of all, You hit launch pad after launch pad after launch pad. I'm using your terminology now. And all of these things spark something in you that you and
Yes.
your heart believe that this wasn't for you and your intuition. But I know a lot of women who are in narcissistic relationships, or they have been, or they've broken free. And I know how difficult that is. Will you tell us about that? What was that like?
Yes, of course. So, I feel like the start of our relationship, we had about 10 years worth of things happen within 1 year. So I had met him, and when I first met him, like any really good narcissist, he was just this dream guy, and he was so sweet and respectful and just all of the things. And when I met him, we met, started dating, then got pregnant, got engaged, and then married, and then had our baby within 1 year.
They didn't move
So
fast
it was a lot, and like it was all unplanned and unexpected, but she, my daughter, was exactly what I needed. But going through that, it was a lot on us. But the first year was just magical. Like, he was this amazing guy and all of these great things. And then I always had heard about narcissists and how they work, but I'd never truly dive deep into like what tactics they use and things like that. And so for about the end of the first year until like the end of the third year of us being together, I didn't really know what was going on. I just knew that like I wasn't my same self, and he was knocking me down in like these little ways where I didn't realize it was happening at this time. And I would just slowly felt like I was completely stripped of who I was. And it took me forever to like realize, hey, you're not the same person you used to be. Like, your spark's gone. You don't really interact with people. You're very timid, and you just have completely changed who you are. And with those couple of years of him gaslighting me really heavily, he started to get abusive as well. And so that definitely started emotionally. And from there, then it started to get physical, and when he'd drink or something, then it would get even louder and worse. And I, for the longest time, thought, I have to stay in this for my child. Like, I can't break up her family because my parents are still together. And so I was like, I wouldn't know how to navigate that. I wouldn't know where to start. And I was so gaslit and belittled into thinking that I couldn't do anything myself. And that, like, without him, I would be absolutely nothing. And so, after a while, and the abuse had gotten worse and worse, and I thankfully I have a great support system, and none of them really knew what was going on. My mom knew the most because she lived down the road, and I would call her to come get my daughter because it would get that bad, and I didn't want her around it. But I couldn't, for the life of me, get over the stump of leaving and breaking up my daughter's family. And that, I think, is what held me in that relationship so long. But then one day I was sitting outside, and I was just thinking about her and like her life. And I was like, you know, it hit me that if she comes home in high school or her early 20s or whatever it may be, and she introduced me to her boyfriend, and I'm watching how he treats her, and this is how he treats her, and she thinks that's normal, I would feel so guilty. I would just absolutely feel guilty because that would have been what I modeled to her. And that would have been her first experiences with how you're supposed to be treated and how you're supposed to be loved. And once that hit me, I knew I had to get out no matter what hardships I faced or anything like that. And I was like, I know I'm not even going to be taking steps through this. I'm going to be crawling through it in the beginning. Like, it's going to be the hardest thing I've ever done. But I knew that my daughter deserved to watch her mom be loved properly, or just be in relationships, whether that's family and friends, but healthy relationships that show what it's like to have your village there for you, or how you should be treated.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing openly about that. That's powerful, and that's a gift in itself. And second of all, I can relate to that feeling of being with someone and feeling trapped, feeling like not yourself, feeling stuck. It's like you're stuck in this box, and everything you do, your celebrations are not met with celebrations, you know, like those people, narcissists do not want to see you succeed and thrive because they're honestly like children who are just so lost and so they don't know who they are. They don't respect and love themselves. So, can I ask you this? What are some of the little signs that you saw, or what are some real life situations that happened that made you that like show that he was narcissistic, or what were those behaviors so other women can maybe look out for them?
Oh, of course, yes. So, I kind of started like looking into like narcissism more when I started like suspecting the gaslighting. I think that was the biggest thing. And that for me was the hardest to understand because it would be like a situation just happened and it's fresh on your mind. Like it literally happened a few minutes ago. And then you and your spouse or your significant other are talking about it and they switch the entire script back on you and how like it was your fault, your problem, all to do with you. And you're like, that's not how I remember it. But they're so good with constantly doing this in the littlest ways that you start to question yourself. And you're like, wait, did I remember that right? Or like, maybe they're right. And I feel like that was one of the biggest things. And I didn't realize that for the longest. I just started questioning myself and was like, oh my gosh, wait, okay, maybe I'm wrong. You know, I'm not perfect. I could be wrong. And I'm a huge empath. So that was another thing that, like, I was like, okay, I could feel his feelings. And so I would go off of those as well. And I think it would just be gaslighting was like the biggest thing to look out for. And them making you feel like you don't know what you just saw with your own eyes. Like it's incorrect, but you're like, wait, I literally just experienced this a few minutes ago. And now you're switching the whole entire thing on me, saying it's something else. And it all dwindles down to being my fault. And I think that was a huge thing.
So when your intuition was telling you, like, I know I'm right, but you're being controlled by this person who's, you know, challenging your intuition and your empathy. So what was the moment after you had that moment where you're like, I don't want to be like this for my daughter. I don't want to show my daughter that this is love. So how did you start taking your power back?
That was really hard. At first, I just was trying to make it through the days because I was at the lowest in my life. So all I could think about was like, I get a gold star if I can just get out of bed today and we'll take it hour by hour from there. And then as I started to like realize, you know, I needed to have a voice again, like I'm having all these things told that they're my fault and he never did no wrong. Ever. It was even the like physical abuse that I have like footage of that I caught on camera. Like, oh no, I didn't do that. And it was always my fault. And so when we would be in a situation, and I read a lot on gaslighting so I could educate myself, so I would kind of know what to look for. And when we'd be in a situation that that would happen and he would gaslight me, I would start to call him back out on it and be like, no. I know what I saw or what I just witnessed or whatever. And I would call him back out on what he was trying to twist my mind. And that would make him so angry. But I kept remembering, like, I need to trust myself and my self-intuition. And so I feel like at the very beginning, I started to make just like very small promises to myself to build my self-trust back up before I could even really get to the point of, okay, how am I going to get out of this? And like, what am I going to do? Like, I had to start building that self-trust back up. So when I was gaslit, I could stand up for myself and be like, no, like, you're not going to do this to me. This is not okay. And so once I started doing those things, then afterwards, journaling actually took a huge part in my like healing and coming back to myself because, in all honesty, when I was getting out of and had just finally divorced and left that situation, I had no earthly idea who I was. Like, someone asked me one day, what do you enjoy to do? Or what do you like to do for fun? And something so simple, I couldn't answer because I had no clue because my life had revolved around him. He had stripped me of my friends, my family, like all of the things that I did enjoy because they don't want you to have joy. They want it all. And so journaling took a huge part. I would just use it as like my absolute word vomit on paper. And whatever was going on in my mind, I would get it out in a journal. And then after that, guided journals were huge for me. And they kind of made me realize questions that I wouldn't ask myself necessarily. And I really took to the journaling because I had done it here and there before. But I was like, this time I'm going to be just 100% straight up honest with whatever's on my mind. Like, I've got to get it all out and see like what's truly going on with me. And so I journaled a lot. And whenever I first got him out of the house and was like trying to heal from this and try to understand, at first it was why me? Like, what did I do to deserve this? What, like, it was I'm not good enough, or like all of the negative core beliefs I had in myself from that relationship. I had to then try to switch them into positive ones. And that is so hard to do. So, whenever I would notice that I was speaking down to myself and things like that, or I was hurting, thinking, oh, I can't make it without him. I can't do this. I would go back to the self-trust and be like, okay, just make yourself one promise. What is one thing you could do that would better either your situation or your mental health or your mindset in the moment that you're going through? And I would always promise just one thing, because if I added too many things, then I'd be overwhelmed. So that one thing I would focus on and just take the tiny steps it took to get there, and then trying to start rewiring my brain into I'm not the issue. I'm not the one that's always doing the wrong. Like, what I saw or what I heard or whatever, it was true. And so really building that self-trust back up was huge for me.
That's a huge part of it. And I imagine that there came a point where you're like, done. You're emotionally disconnected from a relationship. Because I know for women, we give so much, but then when we're done,
Yes.
we're disconnected. So then it's like, okay, now I can detach from this asshole and I can
Yes.
take my power back and like really be true to who I am. So how was it getting out of that relationship? Because I mean, now you've got a narcissist who you're not attached to anymore. You want to get out of it, but now he knows that he doesn't have power over you anymore. So that is
Yes.
a whole
It's
nother
a whole new
game.
thing. So mine was actually pretty traumatic getting out of it. Once he started realizing he didn't have that control over me and that I was going to like start living my life again, having friends, doing things, and he couldn't nitpick at every little thing I do or say, it absolutely was destroying him. And he actually put trackers on my vehicle.
Wow.
And he tracked me. And one night, me and my friends were out at the river house. We live in the middle of nowhere. And so, this, like, on the river, it doesn't have an address or anything. It's in the middle of nowhere, like on the river. And so, we were getting ready to go on the river. And the driveway down there is about a mile long. Well, all of a sudden, I heard something next to me and I looked over. And it was my ex, and he was standing there. He had driven down this driveway, never have been there before, and drove down it with his headlights off to come and find me. And thankfully, one of my girlfriends was standing next to me. And so she was there to help me. But when I saw him, I tried to take off running and was trying to get down to my guy friend and was like, hey, I need help. And they couldn't hear, the music was going. And I'm thankful I had my girlfriend next to me because he ran up behind me and grabbed me by my neck and lifted me up by my neck and started strangling me. And he was like, you're not like doing this, blah, 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 all these things. And my girlfriend got him to let go and like get away from him. So after that, I was like, okay, now, like, I had to go press charges and do things like that. But I was like, now I feel like I have no way out because we're not together anymore. We don't live together. And he's tracking my vehicle. And we couldn't find anything on my vehicle for the longest time. And so, taking all of that and then trying to like keep healing and get out of it while also having a child that he is a good father. And I will give him that. He was just a absolute horrible human to me. And I never wanted to be a reason between their relationship. So I'm trying to co-parent as best I can and keep things civil while also healing from being strangled and assaulted and also like narcissist gaslit from this person. And it was so hard. I had to learn how to have no contact with also having contact for my child. And he would still call and make the gaslighting and the narcissist comments and all the things. So while you're still constantly having to deal with it in a co-parenting sense and trying to heal from it, really takes a whole lot of like self, like I would say inspiration because like I was inspired at the time to like get out of where I was, but like you have to believe in yourself. And if no one else believes in you, like you have to know, like, this is not what's meant for me. I have to trust myself, believe in myself, even if no one else does. And like, I have to keep going and moving forward. And I think that was my biggest thing, like, throughout my entire healing journey was I have no choice. I have to keep moving forward.
Resilience. I the word resilience is coming to mind. It's like you are already at rock bottom, but you know there's something better out there. You believe it in your heart and you just hold on to that feeling like it's the only thing you have in your world. So how did you get rid of the asshole finally? Like, how did he finally stop like stalking you and being psychotic? And it's a real thing. And I say asshole, like I say asshole because there's so many people going through this and there's so many people listening that are relating to you. And there's so many women out there that are terrified. So how did you finally say, see ya, and he listened?
I think it was after the assault, our divorce court date and the assault kind of happened close to each other. So he actually forgot about our divorce court date and he didn't show up. So custody and everything, I got,
Forgot.
yes, quote unquote, forgot. And then he blamed it on his lawyer because nothing's his fault.
Of course he
So
did.
that was typical. But I had actually gotten everything I asked for, thankfully, and it was everything to keep my daughter safe. And so, as I was still going through it, I still had to co-parent with him. Thankfully, me and his dad co-parent amazing. His parents are great, and she's only allowed to stay there. So, I co-parent a lot more with them. But whenever I think he found out I was like serious and like, oh, she's like done dealing with me and I can't control her. So, maybe he needs to find a new victim. Was whenever he would like call me, and I'm gonna answer because maybe you want to talk to your daughter, maybe it has to do with our child. But the second he would go off of our daughter and it was not on that topic, or he would gaslight me, or yell, or raise his voice, I would just hang up the phone every time
Nice.
because I was like, we're not married anymore, I don't have to
Yeah.
deal with this. And it was such a freeing feeling because I was like, the first time I did it, I was scared because I was like, oh my God, like trauma triggered. And I was like, I'm gonna get in trouble. But then I was like, wait. And I was like looking at my phone. I was like, I don't have to deal with this. That's like me putting down that boundary and saying, hey, we're not together anymore. I do not have to deal with anything other than what has to do with our daughter. I don't have to deal with you yelling, disrespecting me, doing any of those things. Unless you want to talk about our daughter, don't call me. And there was times I'd block them for a few hours. I wouldn't fully block him because we do have a child together, but I would block him for a few hours until he'd calm down and like wouldn't be blowing up my phone and I could unblock him and then I would be left alone for a bit. But it really was whenever I was serious about like, here's my boundary and this is one I'm drawing in the sand as a very sharp line. And these things are not going to be okay moving forward. If you do them, I will cut off the conversation. I will leave. He's done them in person before, and I just walked away, got in my car, locked the doors, and left. And he was highly upset. And I was like, I don't have to deal with them, so I'm going to stick to that boundary. And I've still stuck with it. And that setting that boundary, which was really hard for me, and like it was very like unknown waters of how to set it. That was the biggest thing that he finally caught on as I stuck to that for probably over a year and finally caught on to it and was like, okay, like I can't control her. I can't do these things. So he still makes his narcissism comments here and there or jabs when he can, but he knows I'm gonna disassociate from that conversation and remove myself. So he's gonna be talking to himself.
Yeah, I'm picturing like the most annoying mosquito, the one that's in your tent and it's dark and you can't find the
Yes,
damn thing and
exactly.
it's like buzzing around and you're just like swatting everywhere and it's like bothering you.
It, yes.
And then eventually it ends. So I'm really happy that you're able to break free from that. So that led you to your path now, which is all about empowering women. And so tell us what sparked that idea.
Yes, well,
And tell us about it.
I originally I did own a boutique back when I was married, and I wasn't passionate about it anymore, so I stopped that. And I've always kind of shared my life on social media. It was always my outlet from like growing up and the traumas I dealt with back then. And so I was sharing that. And then one night I was trying to think, I still had a lot of stock left from the boutique. And I was like, my boutique was also about empowering women to just be their authentic self. And so I was like, you know what? I don't want to donate it to Goodwill. They're going to go make a profit off of it. I put so much into it. And so it hit my head that I wanted to like work with a domestic violence women's shelter. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, duh, hello. I can donate all of this clothing to them because, like, out of anything, they would just probably be so thankful because I know when I was in that position, if I were to have been in a shelter, like just to have something that's yours and that maybe makes you feel like you're new again and you know can kind of get you out of that funk. And so I was thinking about that, and I do have a lot of friends that like come to me for like advice on healing and stuff. And so one day I was making a video, I think for TikTok or something. And I just went through like a little depression spell for like a few hours. And then, like, when I got through it, whatever I like learned or felt, I was recording that and I posted it. And I was like, why don't I do more of this? Like, I don't just have to help women by donating the boutique clothing. While, yes, that's amazing, I also was one of those women that was always looking for someone to tell me, like, how did you get through it? Or like, what helped you? What helped you gain confidence or gain this or like this part of your journey? And so I was like, why don't I share kind of parts of my journals and just different things that I learned through my healing journey? And I could also help women at that like point in their journey as well. And so that's when I kind of came up with the podcast and switching kind of what I shared on social media to gear more towards the personal development and the healing. And then, like, I also share my life journey with like my daughter and things we do and all of that. But that's kind of where it started, was realizing that I could help women because when I was in that point, I felt so alone and just like no one was understanding me. And you only would understand it if you've been through it. And so I was like, I want those women to know that, like, hey, here's someone that thought she wouldn't get through it, but yet she has, and you can do it too because you deserve it and you're worthy.
Tell us what life looks like for you now. How do you wake up? What are the things you do to calm your nervous system? How do you stay grounded and happy and you're on that
Yes.
path of empowerment?
So now I thankfully it's summer. I'm enjoying time with my daughter, but I always wake up earlier. I used to be a night owl, so this was a complete change for me. But I wake up early in the morning before she gets up, and I spend that time for myself. And I always go and get my Red Bull, and I'll just sit and either plan out my day or like I'll sit there. And I live in the country, so I enjoy the peace of watching the sunrise and just being present in the moment. And so I kind of take my mornings for myself just to wake up and like be there and be present. And then in the afternoons, I've learned a huge thing for me was I call it my me time. I always have at least 30 minutes in like the evening before we start our wind down routine that I spend like reflecting either on my day and how like my mood fluctuated or my feelings were, or maybe something that triggered me and like working through that. Or I'll spend it journaling or anything of like that sort, just kind of checking in with myself and like seeing like what I felt that day and really tuning in to my emotions and my feelings every day has been like a huge growth jump for me because I try to actually be vulnerable in the fact of like, okay, this triggered me, but like, why? What is my underlying thing that it's triggering so I can go back and find that thing and I can work on healing that core wound.
Well, tell us about your services. So what services do you provide? And tell us about your website. And I love that. I love that you carve out that time. Did you say you grab your Red Bull?
Yes, I'm not a big
Oh, okay.
coffee
I'm like, I
drinker.
need to ask her if she said Red Bull. And I was like, thought I heard Red Bull. But I
Yes.
gotcha. Okay. I was expecting you to say journal. So I think in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm expecting that word. And then I'm like, Red Bull. And I'm like, okay, that makes
Yeah, I grab my
sense.
like drink and my either my iPad or my
Yes.
journal, but yes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So yeah, it's so important to carve that time up for yourself.
Yeah.
When your foundation is solid, your life thrives. So when you're solid, your daughter's
Yes.
solid. It's the bleed, it bleeds. It's like the ripple effect, and it's huge. So
Yeah.
you got to stay grounded. So that's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. So yeah, tell us about your website and your services.
So, my services would be I started the Glow Up Guide Collective podcast, and I love to be able to give out healing tips and mindset shifts and confidence boosters that have helped me. And then on my personal website, thebrandedbabemo.com, I have different journals and toolkits and things like that that have helped me or that I have found very helpful in different parts of my life. So some are meant for breaking bad habits, some are meant for confidence boosters and self-esteem, things like that. And then I will have a course being released called the Best Self Blueprint really soon to help you kind of go through and find your way back to yourself and have that confidence to start like living in your best life and whatever that may look like for you, because that's different for everyone.
Amazing. Have you connected with other women who went through a narcissistic relationship along the way?
Yes, I have. And I've honestly been surprised because I think when you're going through it, you kind of feel like no one else does and it's just you. But I've been surprised that people that have like either commented or reached out or been like, I feel this or whatever. And it's way more than I expected because I did not think that many people had been going through it or would need or listen to healing tips and things until I started putting it out there. And I was like, you know, and it, you can't ever judge someone by their cover because I mean, my life, for example, looked so perfect online. We had the perfect family and like all of the things, but you never know what's going on behind closed doors. And so those women that have like reached out, like I felt very thankful that they felt open enough to be able to like share that or their story with me because it makes you realize that you're not alone. Like there are other women here that are here to support you and empower you through your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up a really good point. It's like, I'm so sick and tired of people comparing themselves to social media because it's fiction.
Yes,
It's
it's the
fiction.
highlight
Like, it's
reels.
not real. And so everyone is like scrolling on their damn phone all day on this bullshit, and they're like letting it affect who they are. They're letting it
Yes.
take away their power, and it's not real. So I love that you're trying to, kind of put the stuff out there that's really going to speak to people and connect people, because I feel like community is everything. You start a group
Yes.
and you guys are just empowered together. And by you speaking up, it gives other people the confidence and freedom to speak up themselves. It's like walking, it's like a boardroom. No one's talking, everyone's afraid to speak first. Someone shares something really personal, and suddenly the whole dynamic changes. So
Yes, once they
it
connect.
takes one voice, right? So
Yes,
that's amazing.
exactly. And that's kind of what I've wanted to be for others, because when you're down in the trenches, like in that point, you don't really have a voice because all your energy, you're trying to figure out like who you are again and like how to get past what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So what are some last minute things you'd love to leave our audience with before we sign off for today?
I think I definitely want to leave them with believing in the magic of their season. Every season serves a purpose. I always get people that might come to me and be like, oh my gosh, you didn't deserve to go through that or X, Y, and Z. But my response always is, it made me a stronger woman. It made me come home to myself and be more authentic and closer to who I am than I ever have before. So even if you're in a bad season or a challenging or trying season, believe in the magic of it because something good is going to come out of it if you just keep going forward.
Okay, well, thank you so much for showing up today and for sharing your story. I could feel your
Yes.
heart in it, and I could feel you're passionate about the change that you're making in this world. So it was so amazing chatting with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Yes, of course. And to our audience, we want to reiterate that narcissist abuse is serious. If you are in danger, if you are struggling, please do not struggle alone. Reach out, get some help. There's helplines out there. Call somebody. You do not deserve that life. Take your power back, you guys. You heard from Morgan today, talk about her story, and it's a real thing. And you're not crazy. What you're feeling and seeing is real. Take your damn power back. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Make sure to like, subscribe. Reach out to a friend today. I feel like I'm going to call my best friend after the show. And until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. You just heard from Morgan Bruner. Bye for now.